of Israel were slaves. He was born to slave parents, more than likely was a slave himself because he served time. It's estimated that he was about, or it's known that he was about 30 years old when they were led out of Egypt. So he knew the hardships of Egypt. He had more than likely been a slave, and he grew up in that culture. At 38 years old when the Exodus happened out of Egypt. And then, as we know, he was led by Moses, and he was along with the children of Israel throughout the journey. And then they came to entering the promised land, or Canaan. And at 40 years old, he was sent by Moses to spy out the land of Canaan. And that's a story that I want to go into, is the part about the spies and Caleb's choices and how that affected his life and his family's life. And then also want to, just at the end, I want to also look at him at age 85 when he received his inheritance from Hebron after the conquest of Canaan, and after 40 years of being in the, that was 45 years after leaving Canaan. So if you're at Numbers 13 there, I want to think about him having a different spirit. There was something different about Caleb and Joshua, but it was this saying here, he had another spirit with him, was spoken of Caleb alone. He was chosen as a spy, but yet he was in the minority. He did not do what was popular. He did not do what the rest of the spies did, or even what much of the congregation of Israel had done. I'm going to take the time to read a good bit here from throughout Numbers 13 and 14. And just this Old Testament story, it's very powerful. The choices that Caleb and Joshua made and how it affected them. We'll go through here. There's a couple places. I'm not very good with some of these names of towns and peoples, but we're going to try to make it through. But just as you see the surrounding stories of what took place here. In Numbers 13, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their father shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All these men were heads of the children of Israel." So we see right there that Moses chose rulers in the tribes, and they were heads of the children of Israel. And we can jump down and we see that in verse 6. "And of the tribe of Judah, Caleb the son of Jephunneh." So Caleb, he was somewhat of a fairly young man, as I said, 38 years old, and he was already a ruler in his tribe. And we'll skip on down to verse 17. "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, with the cities that be, whether they be the cities that be there that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, wherein it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men cometh to Hamath. And he ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with a cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol, because the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Just going to pause there as we think this was a very dangerous thing to do, to go into a hostile country and to go search it out. And this wasn't something that was a short time of spying. We see it was for 40 days. And the one question I have is how they could spy out the land or sneak through the land when they were carrying all these fruits with them and this cluster of grapes that was so large that it had to be carried between the two of them. And they were spies. Why did nobody see them? I don't know exactly, except I think it was the Lord's leading as they continued to spy this land out. But they found the good things that were there. And there was they brought them back. It's pretty impressive, at least in my mind, of a cluster of grapes that was this large. And they continued, and they went back, and they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We come unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Right there, we see Caleb taking his leadership responsibility. It seems like the children of Israel were starting to get worked up, and he tried to still them and said, "Look, we can do this." But the men that went up with him, this was the other 10 men, said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we are in our sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight." Children, how big is a grasshopper? Most grasshoppers are not that much bigger than about that high. So if they said they were as big as a grasshopper and compared to a giant, so we would be talking probably higher than the ceiling. What do you call that? Well, that's exaggeration at a minimum. They were exaggerating on what they saw. What did the children of Israel do? You have to remember, too, as you look at this picture, they came out of Egypt where they were slaves. They were in a wilderness or in a desert. And now they were wanting to go into this land, but some were saying we cannot. They were homeless. They had no place to go. What were they going to do? And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept at that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God that we died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. Let us go back to slavery. At least we had a house to live in. At least we had something. What are we going to do? Die here in this land where it's forsaken, nothing, cannot dwell, cannot live?" And then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord dwell in it, then he will bring us unto the land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us, fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. The children of Israel picked up stones, or were talking of getting stones and stoning them because they said we should move forward. But what happened? The Lord appeared. And the Lord said unto Moses, "How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for the signs which I have showed among them?" You have to remember this: the children of Israel were being fed by manna at this very time. The Lord was providing for them. The Lord was leading them. He was showing himself in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. They knew his presence was there with them. And he said, I have showed these signs. I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a great nation and a mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they that tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that the Lord art among his people, that the Lord art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou doest goest before them by day time in a pillar of cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore hath he slain them in the wilderness. Now I beseech thee, let the power of the Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is longsuffering and of a great mercy, forgiving iniquities and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have tempted me now this 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whither he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn ye and get ye into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmured against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ear, so will I do. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, saving Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know this land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms unto your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, which each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in the wilderness. They shall be consumed, and they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned, made all the congregation to murmur against me by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even these men that bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Moses told these, saying unto all the children of Israel, for the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up in the top of the mountain and say, lo, we be here, and we will go unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses says, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be smitten before your enemies. And the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in the hill, and smote them and discomfited them even unto Horem. We're going to stop reading there. As we talked about, Moses appointed 12 men one from each tribe to go and spy out this land of Canaan. And this was a very daring thing to do from a human perspective. But I believe that one of the reasons maybe Caleb and Joshua were chosen is because they had a faith and trust in God. They did not fear the people of Canaan. They did not fear what lied ahead. They went ahead in confidence. And I think all 12 of the spies did to some degree. They started out probably with high hopes and hoping to go in and see what it could be. But somewhere throughout their journey, their hearts were changed, or fear started to set in. And although righteousness and well-intended at the outstart, the spies ultimately sinned and chose to deliver a negative report. And only two men came back with a positive report and remained loyal to their mission. And as I mentioned before, you have to remember that these people were being led by God. They were being directed by God. They had all witnessed the Lord parting of the Red Sea and taking them through, sending manna from heaven, water from the rock, quail for meat for them to eat. They had seen the working of the Lord, but yet they still looked at life through their earthly human nature, earthly perspective. The men searched this land for 40 days. And some of the words of Caleb when they got back, he said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome." Do you think he felt like he could do that on his own? Do you think he said, "I am strong enough, I am going to take over this land"? No, he knew that the Lord dwelt within them. Another other words from him: "If the Lord delighteth in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the Lord, no, fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us, for their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Those were Caleb's words. He said, "The Lord is with us." That was the spirit that was dwelling within him. The people grew terrified, but Caleb stood up and tried to silence them, and he tried to reason with them. He tried to be a leader to a degree with them. And Joshua was right there with him, and Joshua joined him. And together they tried to calm the masses. But we know how negative news and a negative report can gain a lot of traction, and it often passes on faster than positive things do. And the people rose up against them, and the people did not want to hear anything about them. But what choice did they have? They knew they couldn't go back to back to Egypt. They didn't want to do that. They were glad for that deliverance and freedom. They couldn't continue to live in the wilderness. And as a result, God declared that these people would never enter Canaan, those who were 20 years and upward. So for the next 40 years, they wandered around. Caleb had the Lord's blessing on his life in a special way. We see there in chapter 14, verse 24. And I'm not sure why it singles out Caleb here, because we know that Joshua was very much the same. "But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it." And it was not just Caleb's choice did not just affect him. It did not. It was actually life-saving for him. Otherwise, he would have died just like everyone else did, the rest of the spies. But it was also, there was a special possession, a special land that was, I believe, would become his because of his choice. He himself made a choice that affected many others around him. You this morning make choices that affect you. And there's a story that is told of a Levi Coffin, and he's somewhat of an unsung hero in America during the anti-slave movement in 1820. And Levi, he moved to Newport, Indiana, and he opened a shop. And his home soon became a central point on the famous Underground Railroad, a pathway from slavery in the United States south to freedom in Canada. People like Levi would take enormous personal risks to help fleeing slaves on their journey. Levi provided refuge for up to 17 slaves at a time in his house, and so active was he in that the three major routes of the Underground Railroad converged at his place, which became known as the Grand Central Terminal. And because of his activity, Levi received frequent death threats and warnings that his shop and home would be burned. Yet he was undeterred. Like many of the whites involved in the Underground Railroad, he was driven by his Christian conviction. Levi was a Quaker, and explaining his commitment said, "The Bible, in bidding us to feed the hungry and clothe the naked, said nothing about color." So Levi is just one example of a person who decided to do what he could about the injustice he saw around him, and he helped out in freeing the slaves. Now this morning, you may say, well, I can't do anything that dramatic. I probably don't have those opportunities, and you're probably right. But the Lord does bring things into our lives that at times can look insurmountable, like we cannot overcome them on our own strength. And we things come along and we may say, Lord, this is not feasible by human strength. And I just want to remind us and take us back. What was the different spirit that was in Joshua and Caleb? What was different about them and the other 10 spies? What was different about their outlook? And I believe it was their unwavering faith and wholehearted commitment to God. I have 3 points. Is Caleb followed the Lord? And we see that in throughout the verses, throughout the story of Caleb. It was mentioned at least 3 times in the Old Testament that it said he wholly followed the Lord. It refers to the fact that Caleb was committed to keeping the distance between himself and the Lord as minimal as possible. He was trying to do exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. And that should be our desire this morning too. Even when sometimes the path ahead looks hard or difficult, can we try to wholly follow the Lord? And in doing so, there will be a great blessing for us. The man who kneels before God can stand before anyone or anything. Our commitment to Christ affects all of our other relations. The more devoted we are to Jesus, the more faithful we will be to our church, our family, and our friends. Jesus wants you to be fully committed to him. Anything else will keep us from reaching this Canaan land victory. So that is wholly following the Lord. Caleb followed the Lord. Caleb also, second point is Caleb believed the Lord. Do you believe the Lord's promises this morning? You see, Caleb believed it in his heart, and he believed it also with his actions. Like it came out in the way he lived his life. In Canaan, the spies had seen the sons of Anak, a race of giants. And as I said, they had compared themselves to as grasshoppers. But not Caleb. Caleb had seen the promised land, just like all the rest did. They all saw the exact same thing. And while the others complained, Caleb saw it as a place that flowed with milk and honey, and a place that could be overcome, and a place that was the promised land for them. He looked at the blessings, whereas the other 10 were looking at the negatives. It's our human nature to tend to look at the negative things in life, the negative things in another person, instead of looking at the positive things. But he believed the Lord, and that the Lord was leading him there and taking him there. And he said, well, if the Lord wants us to have this, then he's going to give us a way to do it. So he believed the Lord. Caleb was also strengthened by the Lord. We can say, look how small we are compared to the giants. These men were probably giants. They were probably bigger than the 12 spies. And that was an outlook of fear. They are big men. But in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and a love and a sound mind. Can we say, look how small those giants are and compared to God? The God I serve, those giants are nothing to him. We need to look up. We need to have faith. The Lord is leading us. It's Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We serve somebody who is, well, he's just much stronger than we are. He is in control of everything. And if he is leading us in that direction, then he will give us the opportunity to, or give us the strength or whatever it takes to move ahead in that. Turn in your Bibles then to Joshua chapter 14. So Caleb was a young man. He was a leader in his family. He was a spy. He was somewhat of a leader in the children of Israel. He was, you have to think of it as they were then getting ready to go into Canaan land, what's coming, where we've been talking about in our Sunday school lesson. He was one of the two oldest men, Joshua and Caleb, because we know that Moses died and all the others that were 20 years and older passed away. So these men were, Joshua and Caleb were the two oldest men. And so they were, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness again, and all of their peers dying off, again, in a human perspective, it could be easy to lose heart, to somewhat become discouraged, because you see all of the others around you that had done wrong and had died off. But yet here we see that Caleb stayed strong and he finished strong. And we don't have, you're a young congregation here this morning, so there's not a lot of older people who maybe are facing this, but maybe even if you're middle age, maybe you're growing a little weary in well doing, or maybe you don't have quite the energy you used to as a youth or a young married person. But my challenge is that we all stay strong, no matter where we are in life, that we continue as Caleb gave this example here in Joshua 14. And let's start at verse 6. And the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on the day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, and he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, or 85 years old. Yet, as yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou hearest in that day how the Anakite and Akims were there, and that the cities were great and the fence. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. I'm going to stop reading there. So here Caleb was still eager to continue to conquer the land. And he said, I am as strong today at 85 as I was at 40. Caleb was confident in his physical and mental vigor, as strong as he was 45 years prior when he went out to spy the land. He was an older man. Maybe he did not have exactly the same physical strength, but I would say he was definitely emotionally strong. He still had that energy and zeal to push ahead and to do what the Lord had commanded. And he saw this this promise that was given to him of a part of this land that still there. If you read this whole chapter here, there was still the Canaanites were around them, and they had not completely pushed them out, which they had actually. It's one area where the children of Israel did fail. They had never completely pushed out the people that were there as far as they should have. And so he said, he wants to go in and take over and to claim more land that had been promised to him. And he was strong. And he had that, he knew that the Lord was on his side, and he wanted to finish strong. He wanted to do this for the coming generations. And it made me think about this story that I read as well. It's about this the Olympic Games that took place in 1968 in Mexico. And there was a marathon event that was at the end of the program, and the Olympic Stadium was packed, and there was a lot of excitement as the first athlete crossed the line. It was an Ethiopian runner. He entered the stadium, and the crowds erupted as he crossed the finish line. But you see, way back in the field, there was another runner, and his name was Joseph Stephen from Tanzania. And he had been, all the other runners had passed by him, and at about 30 kilometers, his head was throbbing and his muscles were aching, and he had fallen to the ground, and he had received a serious injury to his legs, his one leg, and the officials told him he should just retire from the game, but he refused. With his knee bandaged, he picked himself up and he hobbled the remaining 12 kilometers to the finish line. 1 hour after the winner had finished, this John Stephen entered the stadium. All but a few thousand of the crowd had gone home. And John Stephen moves around the track at a painstakingly slow pace until he collapsed over the finish line. It is one of the most heroic efforts of the Olympic history. And afterwards, there was a reporter that asked this John Stephen. He asked him, he said, "Why didn't you drop out? You knew you were going to win the race. You knew that the winner had crossed the finish line." And his comment was this: "My country did not send me to start the race. They sent me to finish." And I want you to take that challenge in our Christian life this morning as well. The Lord didn't just send us on this earth to start strong. We have, as youth, we have energy. As young people, we have energy. And it's important to start good, and it's important to start strong, to get a good foundation under ourselves. But the Lord, the ultimate test is if we can finish strong. And if you're like me, you'll start to find out in life that you can grow a little weary in midlife. And you can start to, maybe just get tired. And maybe sometimes even just working with others and working with people, you wonder, and you start to throw up your hands and say, is it worth it? But the Lord calls us to be strong and faithful until the end. And even Paul was a very passionate man, but yet he had the same concern about being a castaway or falling away. And it's 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What if I have done a lot of good? And what if I have reached out to others, but I have failed in my own life? Many people today have started well, but have not finished well. Many people throughout the Old Testament, throughout all of the Bible, have done that. You can think back to Solomon started well, Saul started well, Lot started well, but their ends are not good. And the Bible is strewn with the wreckage of people who started well but did not complete the race. But can we be like Caleb, who was strong in his 40s and also strong at 85? Who even as he got older, even though maybe, as I mentioned, he may have become weaker in body, he was still strong in his spiritual strength and in his emotional strength. And he said to God, "Give me this mountain. Let us take a mountain before I die." He was willing to pay the price. He was willing to fight another battle. He's willing to gain another victory because he knew that the Lord was on his side. He knew that he had God behind him. So where are you this morning in your personal walk with the Lord? Have you entered Canaan? Or are you still wandering around in the wilderness or struggling day to day? God has a place of peace and power for you, but you must be willing to claim your possession. Are you wholly following after the Lord? Do you have another spirit within you, different than those around you, different than society around you? Maybe you're young and you're easily swayed by your peers who bring back a negative report. We see that caught on very quickly. There was a lot of people that were easily swayed by those around them, thinking of the children of Israel. Or maybe you're older or middle-aged and feeling like you're losing your energy and your vision. Remember, staying faithful in this life is not for the faint of heart, but it's for those who have faith in their heart. You see, there's a vast difference between a promise. The Lord held out Canaan land as a promise, and a possession. The difference between a promise and a possession were those who wholly followed after the Lord. He had a victory for them. God promised the land to them, but they needed to possess it. They had to do something. So God has victories for his children this morning. He's promised it. I didn't look at it, but all through the Bible, God has promised that we can be victorious, and there's victories for us as children of God. That's a promise. However, to make that promise must be actively pursued and possessed if we want it to be a reality in our lives. Can we wholly follow after the Lord? Can we trust him? Can we pursue after him? And in so doing, he will reward us and our children and the generations who come after. Let's kneel together for a word of prayer.